Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Saturday edition of Football 24/7, wrapping up the final Eagles preseason game. John, they got trounced 26-3. You are down and live at Lincoln Financial Field. How's it feel to be back in the link, Johnny Mac, for a game day?
Yeah, it didn't feel like a game day. Obviously, yeah, it's not sold out. Everybody kind of knew what it was. I just got the box score. It'll take me a while to figure out how many guys didn't play, but none of the major players from either team played in this particular game, and it was – ugly as I thought it would be, but it was particularly ugly for Philadelphia. Obviously, the Vikings were able to get some things done at least. But the Eagles, yeah, difficult game with Kenny Pickett, Tanner McKee, a little bit Will Greer, bad start. I think they gave up 7 of 8 third downs right away. Minnesota was 7 of 8 at one standpoint. The Eagles were bad on third down, even worse on fourth down. They were 0-for-6. They kept going for it, 189, yards passing. But most of that came after the game was already decided. They had a difficult time early. So, but I don't know how much you can take from it, to be honest.
I don't know if there's anything, John, you can take from it. Eagles lose 26-3, so they fall to 2-1. They lose to the Vikings today. And now all eyes are set on Sao Paulo, Brazil, Johnny Mac, where the Eagles will go and take on the Green Bay Packers. But take us inside. You gave us a good little synopsis there. But what is your recap of today, John? We're going to talk about some individual players. I think there were some guys, you know, that people want to talk about. Nolan Smith played a good portion. Cooper DeJean was out there today. What was your overall recap, though, of the game and what you saw out there in the field today?
Yeah, well, not much good. I think there was a little positive. I thought, Tristan McCollum finished a really good summer, played pretty much.
He's a solid player. I think he's earned a roster spot. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I talked about that. It's I just got done from talking to Nick Sirianni. And you're trying to, and some of the players as well in the locker room, and you're trying to figure out little tidbits on what the team is thinking and what guys are thinking, that sort of those bubble players. Tristan's one of those bubble players. I'm with you. I think he deserves to make the team, but, James Bradbury is still here. James Bradbury didn't even dress as sort of one of the deference players, and if he's going to be here – and they're unable to trade him, it's going to be hard to fit Tristan McCollum on the team. Oren Burks is another guy I think you kind of saw today. He didn't belong on that field. He's an NFL player, but he missed the entire camp basically with a knee injury, just recently came back. So he needed some reps. He kind of shined. But is that enough to make that linebacker room, which is all of a sudden a little bit deeper than we thought it was going to be? Ben Van Sumer, another guy who played well, made some plays. And it really comes down to Oren Burks versus Ben Van Sumer. Maybe they think they can get Ben on the practice squad, do it that way. So that'll be an interesting battle. But I think Oren Burks is now back in the mix. Anaya Smith, I was trying to get, Nick actually kind of turned me. I was like, I think Anaya is going to make this team now. Did enough, played a clean game. Stats weren't great, but he didn't have any drops, a lot of traffic. I forget he caught 4 or 5 passes. So from that standpoint, he had a punt return for 14 yards. So He did a little bit good. He had six receptions, actually, you know, only for 36 yards. A lot of those bubble screens, but, you know, no drops. And that's a lot of passes. He's been dropping the football. And then I kind of just talked to Nick about him, and he just seemed a little bit lukewarm about him. So I'm probably thinking about it too much, but he's a guy who's back at least in the mix for a roster spot. But overall, you know, Myles Gaskin, I think, started the game for Minnesota, and he's a pretty good backup running back. He's been in the NFL. He's had some success with Miami. And he's probably another guy more in the Oren Burks range that shouldn't be in this type of game. He's not great if he's playing, but he's a legit NFL running back. And the backups had trouble dealing with him. So right from the get-go. And then little disappointed by the corners because, you know, Jaren Hall, not a great quarterback, doesn't have a strong arm. And they were still able to get things done in the passing game.
Yeah, he was dicing them up a little bit in that first half.
Yeah, which is a little bit disappointing when you have Eli Ricks out there fighting to make the team. And Josh Jobe out there fighting to make the team. And Zach McPherson fighting to continue his NFL career. I think they got pretty schooled by the Vikings backup receivers. And that's not probably a good thing.
John, one player I want to focus on here, Cooper DeJean, the rookie, finally gets out there after missing the first 3 weeks of training camp and the first two preseason games. What did you see from the rookie second rounder today, Cooper DeJean?
Yeah, I thought it was good for the most part. Obviously, there wasn't a lot of success, but I think there were a couple times where you saw the explosiveness of Cooper, particularly when he was near the line of scrimmage. So there was one running play where he chased it down from behind and sort of blew it up on a run blitz at one point. You could see his athleticism. He had that tackle for loss, plus he had pass defense in the game. So he was pretty active. And you know, he's a guy who needed the reps. If he had played in the first two preseason games, he probably wouldn't have played today. But because he missed so much time, he needed to be out there. And I think most of the things you saw from Cooper DeJean were positive. Some rookie mistakes.
Yeah,
as well,
you know, I saw a couple things that weren't great, a little disappointing. But, you know, I do have to add in the comments, it's his first game back, so he's got to get up to speed. But I will tell you what, there is a contrast, at least from my opinion on what I saw in the games, you know, between a guy like him and Quinyon Mitchell. At one point, they were talked about, you know, going to be drafted around the same area. He does not look ready to play in this league, similar to how Quinyon Mitchell looked. Now, maybe that's a high bar, but they're both rookies, and they're both, you know, they're the top two picks this year. I didn't think Cooper looked that good yet, but I got to give him a little bit more time.
I lost you a little bit there. I don't know if it's me or you, but probably me because I'm in the press box. But, yeah, with the comparison, I think you were making the comparison with Quinyon. Yeah, I think, number one, most people had Quinyon as the best corner in the draft. So, yeah, a couple people would go Terry and Arnold. And that's more of a, you know, probably a battle back and forth. And then you went down to the second grouping, maybe – maybe Cooper would have been in that conversation. So, but, you know, I've seen Quinyon every day. He's been, and he's had his moments where he's been beaten. But he's got that sort of cornerback mentality to step back. And I think Cooper has that as well. So I think the Eagles are in very good standing when it comes to the cornerback position versus where they were last year. And I think ultimately when you look forward to 2025, 2026, that's when it's really supposed to come together. And nothing's guaranteed, but I think if you talk to the Eagles right now, they're pretty excited about both of them.
Good. That's good. That's good to hear. It was good to see at least Cooper back on the field today, wearing number 33 out there. Did look good in Eagle green. John, another guy I want to ask you about, Nolan Smith. He played a little bit more today than I was anticipating he would play. What did you see from Nolan Smith today?
Yeah, I mean, Nolan's the one guy where we all said, and, you know, you talk about more. I didn't expect him to play at all. So, yeah, he played much more than I expected. And that was the first question we asked him when we got him in the locker room. And he spun it in a positive way and said he loves to play ball. And, you know, he asked us if reporters, you know, you know, whenever the locker room opens, you guys want to run to get us. He's the same way playing football. Whenever they're playing football, he wants to play football. So that's the comparison he gave us. But nobody else played. Nobody else played. That's supposed to be a contributor on the defensive side of the football, with the exception of Cooper.
Jalix Hunt didn't even play, did he?
No, Jalix didn't play. Now he's banged up a little bit, so that might be more. Okay. That's probably more injury related. But anybody who was healthy, that is supposed to be a rotational part of that defense, did not play, with the exception of Nolan Smith and Cooper DeJean. And Cooper played for a reason, because he wasn't able to play in the first two preseason games, so he needed the reps. Nolan has been there, so. Yeah, I don't think it was a positive sign that he was even on the field, but he's obviously trying to spin it as best he can. And it's just an indication that the Eagles think he needs some more work. And that's not a good sign. When you see how many players didn't dress, I don't know if you can see it, but those paragraphs down there, those are all the guys that didn't dress on both teams. The second ones. So nobody.
Big list.
Nobody on either team. Nobody that's supposed to play week one. And by that, I mean starters and rotational players played in this game on either side of the football, with the exception of Cooper DeJean, Nolan Smith, and Cooper's. Again, there's context to that, and I'm trying to think on Minnesota side. I'm looking real quick. Zero on Minnesota side that's supposed to play week one. Their week one game is against the Giants, I think. Not one. So take it for what you will.
John, let's talk about those linebackers. You mentioned Oren Burks and Ben Van Sumeren. I actually thought both of them had decent days today. Ben Van Sumeren had that nice sack. If they get to choose between one of those guys, Johnny Mac, what do you think they're going to end up doing there? And then just a little bit on how you thought both of those guys looked today.
Yeah, I thought they both looked good. You know, they signed, and I think this has a more all-encompassing feel to it. They signed Oren Burks to sort of be their third linebacker and special teams player on game day. I think that was their hope. But I think as they've gotten to training camp, they realized they have more depth than they realized. And N'Kobe's back, I think, you know, to a point where they don't worry about him. They were very worried about his health and if he could come back. Jeremiah Trotter was a fifth-round pick. Now, I don't think he played very well, to be honest, today, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. And he got an opportunity to start the game with Oren Burks. I don't think he played well, but obviously he's going to be here. And then Oren played really well, and I think Ben played well. Over, if you're just talking about a strict meritocracy, it's very similar to what we talked about with Tristan McCollum and safety. Ben Van Sumeren deserves to make this team, but there's a lot of strategy. And if you say, well, Oren Burks is a proven player. He's also a good special teams player, which he hasn't been able to show because he hasn't been playing. And you think you can get Ben Van Sumeren through to the practice squad, you might go about it that way and keep Oren Burks. Or, you know, they could just bite the bullet and say, well, we thought Oren Burks was going to be our third linebacker, but now we don't need a third linebacker because – N'Kobe's playing well. Zach Bond's playing well. He's proved he can handle off-ball work. Trotter's a young guy we like. And maybe they just say, yeah, we're keeping Ben Van Sumeren for the long term. So these are the kind of discussions you have to have, because you're not going to keep six linebackers.
Yeah, no doubt. John, let's talk that offensive line. What'd you see from them today? It was the same unit. I think it was the same unit all the way through, Johnny Mack, on that offensive line. What'd you see from those guys today?
Yeah, I don't think it was great. I mean, that was part of it. I think Minnesota had some – they only had two sacks, but I think there was pretty consistent. They had five hurries. Early on, you saw the strip sack when Tanner McKee came into the game in the second half. Tanner McKee was very uncomfortable, and then he kind of settled down a little bit and got some garbage time yardage, to be perfectly honest. So I don't think they handled the Minnesota front that well. And, you know, it's not – Jonathan Grenard and Alex Van Ginkle, and they got a lot of good pass rushers. Dallas Turner's from Alabama, their rookie first-round pick. It wasn't those guys. It was Andre Carter. It was Brian Asamoah as a linebacker. So a little bit, I would say, disappointing performance from the Eagles' second-team offensive line.
John, let's go receiver. You mentioned Anaya Smith a little bit at the open, and then you also gave us some insight into what Nick Sirianni had to say. But he's a guy that's fighting for a roster spot, John. Did he stick out? I mean, you mentioned he played all right. Did any of the other receivers stick out today? What did you see from the backup wide receivers today? I didn't see much.
No, I think the wide receiver thing is pretty clear. So, I mean, now that Dotson is here, and we got to talk to Dotson, by the way, but, you know, A.J., Devontae, Dotson, and then Britton Covey's going to make the team, obviously, as the punt returner. And then you have Johnny Wilson and Anaya Smith. And while Johnny's dealing with a concussion, and he's still not back, so you still have to be a little bit concerned about that. But what the Dotson thing did, I think, it made life really difficult for Paris Campbell and John Ross.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really difficult for those guys, but it gives Howie the luxury of keeping the developmental receivers he drafted because, you know, well, they don't have to play right now. So I think he feels more comfortable. That's where I was leaning towards him keeping both of them, Wilson and Smith. But I didn't love the way Nick answered the question I asked him about Anaya Smith, to be honest.
Yeah, I heard that question. It was a good question by you. And it, well, you're right. It was a little bit of an odd answer.
A little bit lukewarm.
For a guy like Nick, who's used to gassing up his guys a little bit more than they deserve sometimes. But I did think that was interesting. John, I'm going to ask you about somebody in the chat wants me to ask you about Julian Okwara. I thought he was physical today and looked pretty good out there. What'd you see from Julian Okwara, and does he have an outside chance to sneak on this roster?
Yeah, I thought he played well. I thought there were a couple plays he showed up. So I get the question, but it's just a tough numbers game. I mean, I don't know if they can keep Patrick Johnson because they got five edge rushers locked in with Josh Sweat, Bryce Huff, Brandon Graham, Nolan Smith, and Jalix Hunt. And you really don't want to keep six, but I think they might keep six because of Patrick Johnson and his versatility, because he's also one of their best special teams player. Plus, he can play some off-ball linebacker as well. He's played that in the past, so he's a little bit more versatile.
Yeah, and that means tough sledding for Julian Okwara to get on this team.
Yeah, but he did play well. And you can put veterans on the practice squad now. So they might go that route with them. Because remember, as they cut down to 53, it's really 54 with their international pathway player and then 16 more with the practice squad. So you start doing the math, and they're going to be able to keep 70 players. They might go outside the organization for one or two, but the vast majority guys they're going to keep are guys they cut on Tuesday and bring them back to the practice squad. So Okwara is certainly in that mix.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll see what they end up doing doing there with the roster. John, another guy I want to ask about is Thomas Booker, backup DT. Boy, there's a lot, John, I will say there's a lot of depth positions now all of a sudden at this team where you just wonder who's going to get in, who's going to get out. It's going to be tough 53 projections for you guys on the beat, but what'd you
say? I'm thinking too much about it too.
When does it have to be in so we can get it in on Birds 365?
It's got to be in by tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
So we're not going to get it on Birds 365. No. Maybe we'll try and do it.
No, because they're going to start cutting guys most likely tomorrow or Monday, certainly. So we got to get it in as early as possible.
So you're racking your brain right now on who's in, who's out. Yeah.
Now, Booker is another guy, you know, you think individually, we mentioned some of them. We mentioned Burks, Van Sumeren, McCollum, now Okwara and Thomas Booker. If you look at the book that I'm looking at and the stats and you say, oh, those guys played pretty well. They got waxed by a team that isn't particularly deep. So, you know, I think, you know, for me, I get hyper-focused. I cover the Philadelphia Eagles, and I get hyper-focused on the Eagles. Well, they got beat up pretty badly by a bunch of guys who, you know, no one looks at Minnesota and says they're going to be a contender. So, you know, it's not starters versus starters. But it does tell you that their depth is a little bit better than the Eagles' depth. And that, to me, is not a positive.
No doubt about that one, for sure, Johnny Mac. John, I want to ask you about the quarterbacks. What'd you see from those guys, from those two today?
I didn't like either of it. The same type of thing with and I hope people, you know, slow their Tanner McKee.
How about slowing both of them, John?
And that's what I'm saying. With Kenny, it's about, look, I think he's a check down quarterback. So
yeah, he just can't push the ball down the field.
No, he can't push the football down the field. But you know, if you need him to play, and again, he would be playing with the first team offensive line, Saquon Barkley, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, et cetera.
Right, that changes a lot.
That changes everything. And you're not going to be the same team. You're going to have to be more conservative and play a certain way. But I think he can win football games with that supporting cast. It might be much more difficult, a smaller margin of error, all that kind of stuff. But I don't think your season is completely ruined. Tanner McKee's got a long way to go. You saw the early in the second half when the pass rush is there, he tends to make some serious mistakes. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's a developmental quarterback. And I think, you know, he had the big fourth quarter against New England. And I think people took that and extrapolated it to he was playing against backups or even first teamers. And it's the same thing as that. And I thought the same thing was going to happen here. He had the one drive, and I'm like, oh, here we go again. You know, Minnesota's playing guys they just picked up off the street to get through this game, and he started to look a little bit better. But even then, it kind of fizzled out. So, you know, I think he's a good third-team quarterback, but he's got a long way to go. With Kenny Pickett, I think he's what you said, Xander. You're not going to be able to push the football down the field. But he can do some things if he's playing with the first team that can get you to the finish line and win a football game, which is really all you should want from your backup quarterback.
No doubt about it. John, one more guy I want to ask you about, then I'll get your thoughts on any players that you want to talk about. And then one more question as we have a bigger crowd than we did at the Open, John, about the two main guys. Nolan Smith and Cooper DeJean today. So I'll get your final thoughts on them. But let's talk Tristan McCollum, John. We mentioned him a little bit earlier in the show. I think this is a guy that deserves to be on the roster, John. How do they get him on there?
Well, you get him on there by trading James Bradbury or you know, just saying, put raising up the white flag and saying, all right, we took it as long as we could. We're just going to cut them and we're going to move on. If you're asking me my own thought process, I don't think Howie's going to take it to this point and wake up Tuesday morning and say, all right, I give up.
I'm with you.
It doesn't seem
to be. Would you do it, though? Like, if you were in Howie's shoes, would you?
Yeah, I would have already moved on from James right. Bradberry. So, and the fact that they haven't, you know, it's so tough to evaluate backup players against backup players until they get reps with the first team. And one of my concerns with Tristan is, because I'm with you, I think if it's just how he played, he deserves to make the football team. But one thing I'm concerned about is they didn't seem to mind to drop him down from, remember when training camp started, he was getting second team reps with James Bradberry, and Avonte Maddox was still in the slot. And then they made the shift and put Quinyon in the slot. And they put Avonte to backup safety. They made that change. And by doing that, the second team safeties were James Bradberry and Avonte Maddox. And what that did was knock Tristan McCollum down to the third team. And I'm thinking to myself, you got a young player that you want to develop and you don't seem to mind taking second team reps and putting them on the third team. That concerned me a little bit from the fact that maybe the Eagles don't regard him as highly as some other people do.
You're right. No doubt about it. That's what that would insinuate. But I do think the guy played good for what it's worth. And if it was a meritocracy, I think he'd be on the football team. John, let's get the update real quick again from you, from those two guys. As we have a much bigger crowd, I want to welcome and thank everybody for being here this afternoon. Eagles dropped the preseason game finale 26-3. Did not look very good, everybody, but not much to take from it. No starters were out there. Not much to the game plan. Not a whole lot went into it. But, John, let's talk Nolan Smith. I'm not seeing much, Johnny Mac. What are you seeing from Nolan Smith out there?
No, well, I think the first thing was he played and nobody else played. And that's an indication that the Eagles believe that he needs to show more improvement. And, you know, Bryce Huff, we talked about, you know, people saying people were weirded out by the fact that he had to play in New England. Well, Bryce Huff didn't play today. Obviously, Josh Sweat didn't play. Obviously, Brandon Graham didn't play. And Nolan Smith was out there.
Yeah, Jalen Hunt didn't play. You said it was injury, so maybe it is.
Yeah, he's and maybe from the fact that you know, you say, well, Jalen's going to play, so then Nolan has to play. But that ignores that you still have Julian O'Quarr and people, you know, there was a commenter, he played well. And you still have Terrell Lewis who made some plays. You have other edge rushers behind them who could have played like everybody else. Anyway, you try to spin it, it ain't good for Nolan Smith that he was out there. And he himself tried to spin
him out there today. I mean, it sucks he was out there, but did you even see anything? I get it, but you were at the game. Maybe you saw something that I didn't.
No, I didn't. Right early on, he got caught as the flat defender, which I blame more on Vic Fangio. I mean, you know, to have these guys dropping in coverage as much as he does is just, you know, I get. I try to explain the context more than anyone, I think. And you need curveballs, but he throws too many curveballs. You know. All right, throw a curveball occasionally. I don't want to see junk, junk, junk. There's too much junk. And anytime you have any of those edge defenders dropping into coverage, it's junk. And you're trying to fool the quarterback. And occasionally you can, and he was playing against a young quarterback. So maybe Jaren Hall, he wasn't obviously stymied by it. And then they played Matt Corral. And Nolan got caught on that. So I don't even blame him for that. But if you look at and I'm looking at it right now as we speak, if you look at the box score, the Eagles defensive box score, and you go down the list, and it's McCollum, it's Burks, it's Van Sumeren, it's Sam, it's Booker, it's DeGene, it's Ricks, it's Joe, it's Nickerson, it's Smith, it's Lewis, it's Jackson, it's Johnson, Opor, Tui, Pelotu, Schroeder, Stevens, Ajomo, Gabe Hall, and then you get to Nolan Smith with one assist. So did he do anything statistically? No. Now, he didn't play a ton of the game, but maybe Oren Burks is the best example of this. Like, Oren Burks is an NFL player. He looked like an NFL player against guys who weren't NFL players out there. Nolan Smith didn't look like that.
100% agreed.
So, yeah, it wasn't positive. Now, that doesn't mean I'm giving up on Nolan Smith, but I think it's a clear indication. Like, people say, when I talk to everybody, even reporters, they say, well, it's going to be Sweat and Huff and Nolan Smith. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's going to be Sweat. It's going to be Hop. It's going to be Brandon Graham. And then it's going to be Nolan Smith. And I think that's a disappointment, to be honest, because Brandon is in year 15, and this is it for him. And he's still a better player.
John, let's get the update on Cooper DeGene for all of our new viewers compared to where we were at the open of the show. What'd you see from Cooper DeGene today? A lot of people were waiting to see him on the field. It was his first game out there as an Eagle. He missed the first 3 weeks of training camp. What'd you see from Cooper out there?
Yeah, I think you saw some mistakes, but I thought you saw the sort of little sprinkles of what he brings and the athleticism and when he guessed right. You saw some of the explosion. I was pretty excited. They were dropping him back to return punts a couple times, and I wanted to see that. The first time, the Vikings punter got off a really crappy punt, so there was no opportunity to return it. Second time, he was pinned back. So we never got to see really Cooper on punt returns. I thought that would have been exciting. He did end up returning a third one for about 5-6 yards, something like that. But so it would have been fun to see him get more of a chance on that. But I thought it was positive. You were a little bit more down on him. Now I got to watch the tape and, you know,
I wasn't down on him. I just didn't see anything great. I just didn't see.
I know there were two plays where he kind of flashed, and they
were
both
early on in the game. He got beat on that one play early on, and then I think he had the penalty that negated the interception.
Well, He did have the penalty that negated the interception. And I didn't see the penalty. Maybe it was legit. Maybe it wasn't. But that was such a horrible throw. It was just airmailed over the middle of the field. So. I didn't see the penalty, so I can't really talk on that, but he did have a tackle for loss and he did have a pass breakup, and the tackle for loss, he really did a nice job of chasing things from the backside. He did that twice. So he did, you know, yeah, the penalty's never good, but with PIs, I have to see. You know, was it legit or was it ticky-tack?
Yeah, it looked legit to me, but maybe you could argue a little ticky-tack. Not that big of a deal. I just didn't think he, you know, he stood out too much today. But look, you know, like I said, it is his first game back, but I don't think any reason to sound an alarm, but just didn't impress overall. Mike drops a super chat, John. He asked about Moro Ajomo. What'd you see from him, and what do you think of his development? Mike says, any thoughts on Moro Ajomo's development? Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, I think he's had a great summer. I didn't think he did much today. I Moro started and he wasn't out there the whole time, like Tristan. Tristan played the whole game. But overall, he's had a very good summer and he's kind of solidified himself as that fourth defensive tackle behind Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Milton Williams. And then you start debating on Marlon Tuipulotu or Thomas Booker or even P.J. Mustafa if you want a big body to back up Jordan Davis. I think Moro's – I wouldn't say he's 100% to make the team, but I got him at comfortably 90-plus percent. I think he's clearly the fourth guy. So I would say not much today, but overall, he's had a pretty good summer. And, you know, there's so much recency bias. People are going to look at this. It's, you know, the Eagles are thinking more about the summer than one preseason game that, you know, nobody played in.
John, any other player on your mind that we haven't discussed? You're going to go home and get ready to make that 53 to try and win the contest amongst the beat reporters for who gets the most accurate 53 prediction. My prediction is that John McMullen will win. That is my prediction, John.
It always comes down to the practice squad. It is a little bit more difficult now because the rules are so much more liberal. They've changed the rules. So used to be a bunch of us would get 52, but worse, 51, and then it would be the practice squad. Now, you know, you have guys you can put on injured reserve that can come back. You never had that before. You have expanded practice squads. You can put veteran guys on the practice squad. So basically, it comes down to those young players. You're going through waivers. Will somebody claim them? And, you know, Eli Ricks is the perfect example of that last year. Probably didn't deserve to make the team based on what he did during the summer. But the Eagles were concerned that somebody would claim him on waivers. Whereas with some of these veteran guys, they're vested. They don't have to go through waivers. When they're released, they're immediately free agents. So you can work out sort of backdoor deals with them and say, look, maybe Oren Burks is in this category. We need the roster spot because we're concerned somebody will claim Ben Van Sumeren. Stay in a hotel. We're going to put you up and we're going to bring you back 24 hours later. And then you elevate him and he's on the field in Brazil for week one. And you got three elevations. And when you get to the fourth one, then you bring him back to the 53-man roster. And at that point, you usually have an injury. So there's a spot.
Right.
Yeah. So that's sort of the juggle
with it all.
Yeah. A lot of games. So
yeah.
That's why it makes it a little bit more difficult now.
Johnny Mac, good stuff today.
And how he likes to play games.
Yeah, good stuff, John Mac. Johnny Mac, good breakdown of the game today. Any closing thoughts on what you saw today before you go home and you lock in your
No, I want to forget. I want to forget what I saw today as quickly as possible.
Yeah, me too, John. I'm with you, brother.
I will mention Griffin Hebert. He's not going to make the team. He's not.
Oh yeah, he had a nice grab out there.
He had a big time game for a guy who's not going to. And who knows? Maybe we'll get back to the practice squad. But
that's a good shout-out. I like that shout-out, Johnny Mac. A Griffin Hebert shout-out. Johnny Mac, good stuff, man. Thank you for the report. Get home safely from Lincoln Financial. Good to have you on the show live and with the video camera. Where are you broadcasting from, Johnny Mac? Is that a coach's booth?
Yeah, I'm in one of the coach's booths atop where we sit in the press box. And they clear out, obviously, after the game. And you got to find a quiet spot. So. Here I am.
Good stuff, John. Thank you, brother.
Some of the scouts sit.
Good stuff, John. Thank you, man. We appreciate it. Thanks, everybody in the chat. Johnny Mac, I'll talk to you soon. All right, brother.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There's Johnny Mac joining. Good stuff today, everybody. Eagles lose the final game 26-3. Not a pretty one. I wasn't overly impressed with Cooper DeJean. But Johnny Mac was okay with it. Nolan Smith, another underwhelming performance. But that's going to do it for our recap today, everybody. Thank you for being here. Make sure you guys hit that like button on the way out. Johnny Mac gave the full rundown. So if you missed some of the open of the show, when I end the stream here, it'll be live on the channel. You can go back and rewatch. He broke down all the things from the game, the players that stuck out, and talked about some of those key guys at the back end of the roster. So thanks, everybody, for being here. Hit that like button on your way out, and we'll see you next time on Jacob Sports.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.